Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How do you feel about candy floss? It's an odd question to start a preach off with, yes. But what are your thoughts? Now, I love candy floss. We purchased a candy floss machine for my previous youth group. I was surprised to see that there was mixed opinion about it. So some delighted in eating sweet clouds of joy, and others turned it away. Now, let's assume that you love it, okay? I want you to imagine an entire table of candy floss. Fresh, thick, and different bright colours. It's right in front of you. Can you see it? Just imagine that I brought my children in and sat them down in front of that table and told them, don't eat the candy floss. I will be back soon. And then I left. Now, what am I likely to return to? It's possible that I might have come back and found them sitting still and obediently waiting. I'd argue it's probably far more likely that I would come back and my kids were holding their stomachs and throwing up rainbows. Now, I'd be a harsh dad if I came into that room and punished them for it, wouldn't I? I've kind of set them up to fail. Now, sadly, many people read a passage like Ephesians 5:18, and that's what they immediately think. They think God is a harsh dad who's put alcohol in front of me and then says, don't enjoy it. I think God is a disabler of fun. He's just a harsh dad who sits us in front of things that make us feel good and says that we're going to be judged for giving in to them. Now, if that's your view of God, if that's your view of Christianity, then I'm really sorry. If you see God as a disabler of life, then you need to read past the first six words in our passage today. Now, as we go through this passage, I hope today you're going to see why this verse is so vitally important to understanding the Holy Spirit. So let's pray that as we go through this passage, God opens our minds and fills us with his Spirit. Why don't you do that in your hearts now? Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a huge privilege. For those of you that know your Old Testament, the Holy Spirit wasn't given to all people. Let's just jump on the tour bus of the Old Testament, and I'm going to do my best to be your Holy Spirit tour guide. Okay? So we start off in Genesis 1, chapter 3, at the start of creation, where the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters. He's hovering over the earth that's being formed. He was working in creation. And then we come to Pharaoh a bit later on in Genesis, the king of Egypt, and he's noticed something different about a man named Joseph. He says that Joseph has the Spirit of God in him and ends up making him a very famous person in the land. Moses had the Holy Spirit to lead the people of Israel. The 70 elders in Israel were given the Holy Spirit to help Moses to lead. A very famous man, Bezalel, was given the Holy Spirit to build God's sanctuary. He was spiritually enabled to work well with his hands. Saul was given the Holy Spirit to be the king and to lead God's people. The problem is that Saul ended up cowering in his tent, waiting for someone else to do his job and kill Goliath. It turns out God had filled David with his Spirit, this tiny shepherd boy, who ended up doing something that every member of the army of Israel couldn't do. But after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, he writes in Psalm 51 asking God not to take his Holy Spirit from him. Now why? Because God's Holy Spirit was David's enabler to do great things. But it took obedience for the Holy Spirit to work. It took obedience by David for that to happen. Daniel was able to interpret dreams. Isaiah, by the Spirit, was able to prophesy and see into the future. Elijah was able to resurrect people and perform other miracles. Gideon had the Spirit of God that led him into great victories. Samson had the Spirit of God and he killed a bear with his bare hands. No, he didn't. He killed a lion with his bare hands. He ended up, by the Spirit of God, being able to push over an entire temple. It's incredible. The Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament is filling person after person who goes on to do amazing things. But then that's it. Following the prophet Malachi, there was silence. No prophets, no spiritually enabled people that we read about. There was silence for 400 years until rumours started to spread around God's people that the Holy Spirit had placed a baby in a young girl. And this baby was going to be God's chosen spirit-filled missionary who was going to change the world forever. You remember Jesus' baptism? We don't hear much about Jesus until he's about 30 years old. Now, what was significant then? What happened? The Spirit of God descended onto him and he begins his public missionary work. So in Acts 2, we see Peter, that was Jesus' closest friend, stand up and speak to the very people responsible for killing Jesus. Now, that's a tough crowd, right? They heard the good news of Jesus dying for their wrongdoing and taking a punishment that they deserved. And when they ask what they should do, Peter says, repent and be baptized. So say sorry, be baptized, every one of you in the name, because of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And listen to this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who's far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That's you. Do you see how huge a sentence that is? When I believe in Jesus, I'm given the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? The Spirit is a divine enabler that lives inside God's people and who makes them more like God. Powerful people who stand out from the crowd. So let's stop there. We get off the tour bus, we dipped into the New Testament, and we're back at Ephesians 5:18. Now, has that changed your view of what this sentence is about? What an incredible God that we have, that I would be trusted with that much. What a kind and faithful God. But this verse doesn't say, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be linked with the Spirit. It says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The word here, filled, in the original language, meant a continual filling. It isn't a one-time thing. It's a pattern for the whole of life. But what does that mean? Does it mean that I can be less full than you? Or only have part of the Holy Spirit? I don't claim to fully understand the Holy Spirit. I understand the Holy Spirit like I understand my wife. I get her to a degree, but then sometimes she'll do things that I didn't see coming. The Holy Spirit is the same. There seems to be a kind of normal pattern of stuff, but sometimes he will do things differently. So generally, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, it means that the Holy Spirit is working powerfully within us to make us more like Jesus, to point other people towards him and to build his church. Now, I'm going to leave that definition rolling. Okay, it's going to be scrolling along the bottom for a bit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is to increase in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And notice self-control here. Things like being drunk in the Spirit is not a thing. Being filled with the Spirit is to know real joy in relationships, to have significance in other people's lives, to be sure of your relationship with God, to get to know God better and better. And being filled with the Spirit is taking a broken and tired human being and filling them with glory. Doesn't that sound awesome? How are we filled? Well, here are three answers from the book of Ephesians. So number one, pray for the Spirit's work. So Ephesians 3:16-19 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, what that means is we ask God to fill us with love for Jesus. Anyone booked a holiday yet? Now, booking a holiday with friends is amazing, right? It's really easy. Working out how you're going to get there, what you're hoping to do when you're away together, why on earth you've decided to bring children with you. I mean, it's easy, right? When you love someone, doing things to build that relationship and enjoy it is easy. When we're full of love for someone, doing things that enjoy the relationship is a great thing to do. So pray. Pray hard and long that the Holy Spirit would fill your heart with love for Christ so that you can work for him with joy. That's a great prayer to pray, isn't it? Can you be praying that for each other now? Wouldn't it be an incredible thing for the church, our one, and nationally to be praying for that? That the church in this country would be loving their relationship with Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? Here's number two, follow God's example. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that our relationship with the Holy Spirit is something that is strong when we're working together and then weak when we're not. It's exactly the same with our colleagues or partners or husbands or wives or parents. If we sin in our relationships, it negatively affects the productivity or joy in those relationships, doesn't it? Now, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that we look to Jesus. We look to the cross and walk in the way of love. It's interesting, isn't it? That people wanted to be around Jesus. He wasn't this kind of airy, fairy, personality-less, kind of head-in-the-clouds human being. He walked in the way of love, which means he was really good at making a real difference to people's lives. We follow his example. We don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We walk with him in loving obedience. We look to Jesus, who took a punishment that I deserved by dying, abandoned by God, so I could be filled with the presence of God. He was sacrificed so I could live. We follow God's example. Now, wouldn't that be an incredible thing to work through now? In what way have you been walking in the way of love this week? How could you follow God's example? Is there anyone that you need to show some love to? Is there anything you need to say sorry for? We follow God's example. We walk in the way of love. And thirdly, see the Spirit's work. Ephesians, the bit after our verse, so verse 19 says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21, this is a linking verse, okay? It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, what would need to happen in your life to feel so much joy that your relationships with other people and your relationship with God look like this? Where there was submission and love, where there was joy and singing. Now, I'll admit something to you. I've never actually been to a football match. I did spend 7 years living within a two-minute walk from a stadium. And from what I could gather, singing loudly is compulsory. Now, why? See, they're not singing because they have to. They're singing because of everything that has happened before, because they're representing a team and everything that could potentially happen in the future. The more we live when we're filled with the Spirit, the more reason we have to be joyful. Can I tell you one thing that revolutionised my singing at church? It wasn't singing lessons, you rude people. We all have days where we don't want to sing, do we? And if that was me, I'd say to God that I didn't want to sing. I'd be honest with him. I'd then apologise for it because he deserves my praise, and then think of something that I'm thankful for. I'd then thank God for that thing, and then I'd sing. We see the Spirit's work in our lives and in the lives of those around us, and it's a reason for joy. How good would it be to see the church filled with the Spirit and growing together in joy because of the Spirit's work? How has the Holy Spirit been at work in you? I wonder if, as a church, we spent this week praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit, what next week would look like. That'd be amazing, right? Now listen, I like a drink as much as the next guy. All right, this doesn't say don't drink. It does say don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What do my kids need as they are sat there in front of the table of candy floss? They need their eyes to widen as they look out the window and realize that they're in the middle of Legoland. Do you want to go back to the candy floss? No, Daddy, no, I don't. I want to go and play on that thing and be on that ride and pass my Legoland driving test. Do they still do that anymore? Their perspective has changed. They're no longer looking for temporary relief from life. They're looking for lasting satisfaction in life. A lasting satisfaction that is given by the Spirit as he points us towards and makes us more like Jesus. How exciting would it be to be part of a church that stepped forward together, filled with the Spirit? Pray for the Spirit's work. Follow God's example. See the Spirit's work. Father, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name and for his sake.